This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, Rule 76 doesn't come for hours, but up until then, oh, there's going to be some great conversation, some fun, some laughter, some analysis, some football, maybe a little baseball, maybe a little basketball. It is DPHRO and Rothenberg with you on October the 22nd, 2021, week 7 of the NFL season underway. And I say, as always, good morning to Rick DPHRO. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. A little football Friday. You must be feeling good about your Rangers today.
I feel very good. I mean, that's another good win. The goalie plays outstanding. They do it without Kako and Strome. Yes. How could I not feel good about the Rangers today?
Your goalie's not just playing good. Your goalie's playing like one of the best in the league right now.
That's nice.
That's very nice. Second line steps up. You got to love Sammy Blais right now. I mean, that was
some pass.
Dude.
I mean, oh, my God.
He plays grit. He's got some skill sprinkled in there. I mean, between him, I mean, second line stepped up. Hedel comes down the off wing, backhand. Not a great goal, but whatever, you'll take it. And then Shesterkin, I think the stat was he stopped 99 of the last 102.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Pretty good. Is a 970 save percentage good?
That's not bad. I see what you're doing, by the way. Very well played.
Deflecting?
Very well played. Start the show. Kiss my hiney. Look at your Rangers. Shesterkin looks good. Oh, Sammy Blais, so good. It's textbook. Textbook what you're doing. Very well done.
Save DiPietro.
Yeah, let's highlight the good.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about the bad sprinkled in here.
I see what you do. You get me all excited. The Rangers looking so good. Another win on the road and how excited I should be. And then maybe I'll forget. About the other hockey team here in town.
Yeah, so we can gloss over that. We don't need to get real in-depth. We got a point. We'll take it.
I mean, you really struck while the iron was hot, huh? Dave, just wonderful, those Rangers. What another terrific performance. And we're going to talk about that. And then there's like a limit. You can only talk like 90 seconds to 3 minutes of hockey. Once we use up that limit, the statute of limitations, boom.
I'm trying to run out the clock. Yeah,
no!
Exactly.
Yep.
What the Cleveland Browns did last night, that last possession.
Oh, that was incredible.
Give it
huh?
to Dearness Johnson. Just let him run it down. Just run this clock out because they can't stop him.
That was terrible. They took their manhood. That looked like the Giants' defense last night. I mean, you need third and seven, fine. You need third and nine, fine. Just run the ball right down our throats. That was incredible what the Browns did last night.
Oh, what you pick up the first? Oh no, there's a penalty. No big
That's
deal.
That's fine. Don't worry.
That's fine.
Just run it
no
again.
Big deal. Yeah, I mean, Denver does not. I mean, the Denver defense just got. I mean,
remember when Denver was 3-0?
Yeah, I do.
And good?
Oh, remember the conversation about that division? Oh, this division's loaded. Denver, Vegas off to a great start. I mean, Chargers just got destroyed by Baltimore.
Yeah.
Destroyed by
Baltimore. Kansas City doesn't look very good.
They can't help but turn the football over. Their defense in Kansas City stinks. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, we went through this the other day as far as, you know, teams that you think in each conference have a chance to win a chance. There are not many of them.
No, there's not. There's more in the NFC this year than the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, the high-end teams, yeah. I mean, it's top-heavy, man.
I mean, really, and you actually included Kansas City the other day. I don't know that I would include them because you have to figure they're going to have to go on the road for some of these postseason games. I think for me, it might just be Buffalo and Baltimore in the AFC.
Yeah, but I mean, when you take a deeper dive into the numbers of what Kansas City's offense, like outside of all the turnovers, what they're doing, scoring points, they still have a potent offense.
Oh, I'm not saying
potent.
That. But their defense is really bad. And they're very one-dimensional. They actually ran the ball better with Darrell Williams than they have with Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, but it's not just that with them, though, right? It's their ability to put points on the board, which put pressure on your offense. Like, I know we always say, like, you know, run the ball, control the ball, that helps your defense. Well, I mean, scoring often, right? Like, being that explosive also helps your defense, too. Because now that the team's playing catch-up.
Yeah. Well, listen, but if you can play from ahead and make them one-dimensional.
I don't know if there's help in that defense. That's the problem.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're awful. And you start giving, other teams extra possessions against that defense, and you're in trouble.
And they can't, I mean, they can't do anything. It's not like you're like, well, you know, they just can't stop the run. But once you get into a must-pass situation, they can get after the quarterback and slow you down. They don't do anything well. It's really hard to win with an awful defense.
Yeah, and then on top of it, you're turning the football over. No, it's not. That's why going through all the stuff yesterday for our picks today, I mean, that Kansas City number at Tennessee was, and I know Julio Jones may not play, but I'm like, that seems like a, I mean, with how bad Kansas City's defense is, how good Derrick Henry looks, like, I don't know. Like,
so now you're gonna push Tennessee on me.
Well, no, I'm not pushing Tennessee. It just seemed like a fishy number to me. But we'll get into that at around 6:45-ish?
6:45, we'll get into that. Now, you say fishy number. Was that tongue-in-cheek? Was that the quote from the New York Football Giants head coach? Or was that just, oops, you just happened to use a similar term?
No, I think we all realize the fish stinks from the head down.
So you did it on purpose. You're leading me down a path.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but this is why I came Rangers out of the gate, to put you in a good mood before we talked about both football teams, actually. Because I got the Patriots in Gillette.
Yeah.
Which is no treat. And we all saw how that first matchup went.
At least the Knicks play tonight.
That'll put us in a good mood. But we got both football teams playing at one again on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. And I think there's only six games on Sunday, too, at 1 o'clock.
I hate that. I hate it.
There's only six games, right? Because there's six teams on bye. So that takes three games away. So there's usually 16 games. Now there's 13. So now you have one game last night.
You got
12.
Yeah, you got six.
Then you have six is down to six. Then you have four and then one and one. Yeah. So there's only six at 1 o'clock.
Six at one. Then you got four at four. And then you get the Sunday night game.
Right. So Giants, Jets, same time. Early Sunday. I hate it. I can't stand it.
It's the worst. It's the worst, honestly. It really is.
But this is how bad New York football is. I don't know who remembers years and years ago. The Giants and Jets never, ever played at the same time. Ever. One would play at one. One would play at four if one was not playing in a primetime game. And now it's just commonplace. They're so bad, nobody wants to see these teams in the 4 o'clock window.
Which is crazy, too, because if the Jets were halfway decent, that's still, I mean, that's an enticing matchup. It should be, at least. I mean, a division rival.
But they're terrible.
No, I know they're terrible, but what I'm saying is if they were halfway decent, like, as a Giants fan, you would normally tune into a Patriots-Jets game if it wasn't the same time as your game.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there should be some juice around that, right? Belichick hates the Jets. New England's typically good. If the Jets were just decent, but they're not. Wait till the Giants start playing in primetime. That'll be a treat for the country to see. A couple of those coming up.
Oh, the country can't wait for that.
Oh, I know. Monday night at Kansas City. Monday night at Tampa Bay. Now, here's my question for you. We move down the road with Survivor. We get to, 5 weeks down the road. If I take Tampa Bay in our Survivor against the Giants Monday night, do I now become a bad guy? Am I a bad fan? Am I now a fraud? Or are you just saying, this is a man that's just trying to win Survivor?
This is a man that's just trying to win Survivor. It's not your fault. Your team pushed you to this. It's not your fault at all. I already know who you're taking this week. So
no, you don't.
Yes, I do.
How could you? You know me that well.
Because I went through it. I have the spreadsheet that RJ sent out, and I know exactly who you're going with.
You know what? Right now, do you tell me? God is my witness. You get it right, I will tell you on the spot. Who am I taking this week?
Dave Rothenberg is taking the Arizona Cardinals today.
You really are unbelievable.
Yep.
How did you know that?
Because this is what happens when you have an algorithm. You guys all laugh. Sprinkle the spreads into the algorithm. I see who you've already taken. I go,
I did my
there
little
it is.
Algorithm yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
You looked at my algorithm? And that's how you come with this?
I did my little algorithm yesterday. Yeah.
That's a sneaky
drop. Guess what happens, Dave? I plug all the numbers in. Boop. Out comes the answer.
I didn't realize you were looking at my algorithm, though. Had I realized that you were doing that? Oh, no, not the boop. the mysterious boop.
Telltale little boop there tells you that that was on his end.
I love that he said telltale.
Yeah, that's a telltale. You know, in the business, that's what they call it, the telltale, the boop.
That's right. Oh, what's it? Here we go. Oh, God.
You'll be taking Arizona. I don't know yet.
Can you go all the way with everyone? Can you read everyone's mind?
Well, no, not yet. I will by the time we get to the Survivor picks, I'll have a pretty good idea. Santi's the wild card, though, because he picks.
Like, well, you never know with him, because he looks at his games and he's like, you know, I could take Carolina this week. It's like, hang on a second. There's 16-point spreads. There's 15-point spreads. There's 13-point spreads. And he could very well say, you know, I'll take Carolina. And he'll win. I mean, he's still alive, so good for him. But I almost feel like Survivor is a offshoot of how The Price is Right is for him.
No, exactly right. Like, all rational thought. Like, the actual thought that goes into making this Survivor pick goes straight out the window.
I'm going to be Price is Right guy. I'll say -299.
Yeah, he's taking minus. He's taking. I would be surprised if he sprinkles on the Falcons.
He could.
Going on the road to Miami.
I may.
You know what? I think they're
going
to win.
He could. You would put nothing past him. Is it fair to say, Raymond, that you don't fully grasp the Survivor?
How can I not fully grasp Survivor? What's difficult about it?
How can you not fully grasp Price is Right?
It's just not for Ray.
Not for Ray. I think RJ's probably going to go with Green Bay. I could see Ray going.
But RJ has the Cardinals alive and well.
He has the Cardinals as well.
Yeah. So why am I so glaring that, oh, there's no way I would possibly take another team? I'm going Cardinals, but RJ's not.
Well, because you've obviously put thought into the fact that, I mean, and you do this every single year, that what you're supposed to do, and RJ Bell, I mean, I heard him tell you this with Survivor, is you kind of take a peek at, you know, this week, for example, you like the Cardinals this week, but you also mentioned the Bucks are playing the Giants. Would you be a bad guy if you took Bucks? So clearly you've looked at what the Bucks have moving forward, and there will probably be a bigger spread available later on.
So you think that I am doing my due diligence?
Yes.
The other guys on the show may not be doing the same.
No, I think you have more time and maybe expertise because of your past that I think you incorporate into these decisions.
So you think because I've had some might say a debaucherous past that you look at me as kind of the shady guy that is better at this kind of stuff?
That's the first part. Second part is this, and all credit to you, is that you made it all the way through last year without being eliminated.
All the way through.
All the way through. So you're, I mean, we're chasing you. I mean, you're the guy to beat right now.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, Dave shared with me the dollar amount he won, and it just really put into perspective for me how much money he has what he was disappointed with.
No, see, I don't think that's fair.
Oh, it is.
No, I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because to win this thing, like you join the Survivor pool every year with the thought of there's gold at the end of the rainbow. Like, you could win huge amounts of money.
Magically delicious, yeah.
I'm talking life-changing money.
Yes,
okay?
True.
If you were a solo winner in this Survivor, you win life-changing money.
So it's got to be what? Hold on, time out. So let's just set the stage here. The entry fee's got to be at least 500.
No, not at all. There's a lot of people.
No, there's like 72,000 people in it.
No,
there's that many people.
Yeah, there's over 3,000 people that join.
So 3,000, it's got to be $200.
No, not even close. It's like $30 an entry.
So what are you saying, RJ? $30 an entry, that's not crazy.
No. The money he won.
No, let me explain.
Yes.
So there's 3,000. So I mean, you win solo, you're looking at, I think it's over $100,000, okay? Is what it comes down to, right? Which you would say is that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, that's a large, nice chunk of change. Yeah.
So last year, over 3,000 people played. I guess with the Jets and just certain teams that just consistently lost, 80-something people made it to the end.
And you had Jacksonville, too. I mean, Jacksonville won week one and then lost.
I mean, you had teams that were layups last year. 80-something people made it to the end. So I split what would have been like over 100,000 with 80 people. So, you know, you're looking at less than $2,000. So, yes, I was not as thrilled with that semblance of money, that amount of money, as I would be had I won solo. Yeah. And he's like, I can't believe you would look down on that money.
Right down your nose.
I don't look down on it. And I actually think Rick will agree with me.
Yeah, but you were never close to winning solo.
No, Rick would not agree with that. I mean, you bet $30 and you won. I mean, all you wagered was 30 and you won over $2,000. I mean, that's a solid day's work.
You don't understand. In years past, two people have won. Three people have won. like you know, I remember making it to week 15 one year. It was the Raiders-Texans, and the Raiders lost at home to the Texans, and I was one of seven. And this year, I have a chance to do it as well.
Have you ever gone undefeated? Have you ever gone
no,
a whole season?
Okay, never.
So, you were a product of what you just described, is the fact that there were layup teams.
Yes. Yes.
Just you took advantage of it, and you won $2,000.
The hope is you join one of these survivor pools, and you are sitting in it. Like you're talking about Hawaiian vacation and a new beautiful car and life-changing amounts of money. And, yeah, I got less than $2,000. So I enjoy receiving that money, but it's not life-changing money is all I'm saying.
RJ, next time you come to the island, I'll take you for a spin around David's childhood estate, and you get an idea why he looks down his nose at $2,000.
Yeah, just you don't even have to.
You guys don't get it. You just don't get it. I don't know if it's that you don't want to, you're not capable of, but it's clear that you don't understand.
Well, this week you're taking the red birds as opposed to the purple birds, or the birds of Philly.
And he's locking in the birds.
Yep.
He's locking them in.
You're in on the birds.
Dave loves the bird. You should see what Dave does with the pigeon, especially when you walk right down. You walk right down West End Ave, and the lady just starts sprinkling breadcrumbs out of her window.
I don't think RJ knows this. There was a woman that lives on West End Avenue when we were at our old studios that would toss breadcrumbs out the window. So as you're walking, breadcrumbs come out of the sky like rain, and then pigeons just go flocking over to that area. and you look, you're like, what are you doing? But I still say that second to the woman in Madison Square Park years ago that used to put food on her lap and have squirrels just up and around her all lunch long.
One of Cassie's best friends had a pet squirrel, a legitimate pet squirrel.
I saw a man walking a parrot on a leash yesterday.
Stop yourself.
Yeah. I heard the squawking. I was walking to my car, and I turned my head every which way, and then finally I stopped because I need to figure out where it's coming from. I turn around. There's a man with a parrot perched on his arm, and it has a leash just in case it decides it wants to fly away.
Now, was this a guy that you looked at and you thought, boy, stay away from this guy. He's
no,
off?
No.
Was it Coco Beware? Was that who it was?
No, I don't think so, but apparently the parrot just needed some air.
And you guys laughed at me for walking my hamster on a leash.
You walked your hamster. You walked your turtles.
Yeah, well, they need exercise.
No.
Just going to leave them in the cage.
I don't think turtles, in fact, do need exercise.
I would walk that hamster, too. No one had a better life than that hamster.
A tortuga liked to walk. What do you want to tell you? It has a little lettuce, nice little walk.
I don't know. We lost it for like a month and a half. We couldn't find it. Then
any animal that you could lose for a month and a half and then comes back like nothing's happened isn't really a pet.
I like turtles.
Don't be jealous of the turtle because your dogs are maniacs. You should have got a turtle. Maybe you should get your dogs a turtle.
Get the dogs a turtle.
Emotional support turtle. Why did you get them like a turtle or something?
Get the dogs a turtle?
Like, what are the chances? Barkley would probably try to eat the turtle, let's be honest.
It would not last for long. He's shell and all. He would take that thing down whole. Swallow it whole. He's a savage.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you enjoy fishing?
It's fine. It's a little boring.
Yeah, but it's meant to be. I mean, that's the point of it. It's not called catching. It's called fishing.
Yeah, I understand. So the name fishing in its own right does not mean boring, though.
No, but it's out there to relax, enjoy it. I'm fine with nature.
Honestly, it depends on the company. If I'm with someone that I really enjoy, then I'm pro fishing. If it's someone that I'm like, then probably not.
Nice, relaxing. Some good conversation with the buddy, maybe a couple frosty beverages. Who knows? I love fishing.
Yeah, but I don't do stuff like this. This is really kind of beyond my purview. Like fishing, hunting, these are manly activities.
But you're a boater now. I just assume because you're into boating now. I figure you made.
I'm a boater. Well, on boating trips, excursions, we haven't done fishing. They've been more kind of like just solely boating trips.
Yeah, maybe next summer.
Incorporate a little.
Yeah, for the kids.
A little fishing in?
I mean, unless you're going to take out a yacht. I mean, maybe a couple fishing rods, some bait, maybe some...
Maybe right off the dock. Why do we have to have a boat?
Yeah, maybe go right
off
the dock.
Old school.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what we're capable of. We'll do anything. So what else do you know about me?
I mean, you're an open book. I think we all. I mean, we know a lot about you.
I am thermometer boy right now.
I know more than most with some of the stories that you tell me that we can't tell on the radio.
But. Well, I would think if it would be weird if you didn't know more than most. You work with me every single day.
Every day.
Right.
Every single day. I love every minute of it.
If there are people out there in radio land that listen and listen closely, it would be strange if they knew more than you. You're with me every day. I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Last time we went fishing off a dock was in Key West, and Pete accidentally caught a pelican. That was bad.
A pelican? Where did he catch it around? Like up in the neck?
No, it ate the bait. He threw in the bait, and then the pelican swooped in and ate the bait, and then hooked itself. So it was fine. It was.
Did you release the pelican?
Of course, we released the pelican.
I don't know. I could see you guys be like, "Oh, pelican soup!
Fire up the grill. Here we
That's
go.
That's right. Look at this.
Delicacy. The mouth in of many a pelican countries. Is just something to behold.
Pelican soup. Let's get to some calls, and then we'll get to the Giants, because Joe Judge, again yesterday, it's like, oh, here we go. Let's go to Pat. You remember Pat in Rahway? Pat in Rahway is the cousin of Chris Taylor on the Dodgers. So, of course, at 5:25 in the morning, Pat in Rahway makes his call to the show. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a night. Oh, man.
So let me ask you this.
I'm still shaking. You asked me what his grandfather's name was, because he thought I was a fraud. But that's okay. I understand.
Well,
it's not
a fraud. I didn't know. I mean, it's very easy to call and say I'm the cousin of a famous athlete without having intimate knowledge of that person. I truly believe that you do know him and you are cousins. If you were to text him last night after the game, would he look at that and be like, "What is he texting me for?" Or is it like, are you guys that close?
Oh, no. To be honest with you, we're not that close to the point. He probably would be like, oh, wow, yeah, I didn't even, he probably wouldn't. He would think it was kind of strange because we don't talk like that, to be honest.
So you don't talk at all?
No.
When was the last time you saw Chris Taylor?
No, we do talk. I mean, I went to the game. It was against the Mets. We were on the field after the game. We don't talk that much. I mean, he's a busy guy. I mean, and I'm not one to bother him. I mean, he's kind of in the zone right now. So,
yeah,
I don't know why he put so much pressure on him to prove himself. He's his cousin. He's not. I mean, they're not close. I mean, how many of your cousins are you super close with that you talk to all the time?
I mean, all of them.
If I had a cousin
have a night like Chris Taylor had last night, I would text him right away, and I would think that they would respond.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have the expectation that they would respond.
I get where you say that, but...
Well, I believe it. I believe that he, in fact, is your cousin. Yeah, and he had a sensational game last night. 3 home runs.
Yeah, he could have had a fourth. Honestly, that's at the bat. He was a fraction of a second from ripping that over the fence. That was right there. I mean, I know he ended up striking out, but that was... the game of his life. When they needed it most, Turner's out.
Turner's out.
The third.
And cousin Chris is in the lineup every day now.
They need him.
Yep. Pat, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. No, I think that's his cousin. I believe that.
I'm starting to take your side here a little bit the more I think about it.
About what?
Like, if this is someone that you speak to, like, not on an everyday basis or whatever, but when you see him, you're friendly, right? Like, you would actually go to the game and you would see him after the game. I would imagine you're probably right. I would after a game like that, I'm probably going to say something, like text something.
Right. I mean that is the pinnacle of your career last night. That is you probably won't have, I mean maybe he will, who knows, but you probably won't have a bigger game in your entire career if you're Chris Taylor. And I'm sorry if I'm a cousin that when you come to New York, I go to the game and go out on the field, I absolutely am going to text you and congratulate you on the performance.
But there are instances, and this happened to me a couple different times, where people will say to you that they're your cousin, like a distant cousin, and you question it. Like, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I don't know. And that's why, because we have Steve Mills' brother that calls the show. We have Chris Taylor's cousin. We have a lot of familial obligations on the show that call in to toot their own horn. I want to be sure. I want to vet them properly. Now, Scott and Peconic is on the air, 98.7 ESPN. He doesn't believe any of it. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you got, Scott?
Just a talking about the caller that just happened about Chris Taylor's cousin. I mean, how are you a cousin of a big MLB person and you're not close to him? I mean, that's kind of weird to me. And then I just heard you talking about, you know, when you come into the city and you're playing the Mets or Yankees, what have you, and you don't invite your cousin out and you're not close. Oh, no, big fraud, big fraud.
You don't believe that's his cousin out, or you think they just have a terrible relationship?
No, I think he just making himself up at 5:30 in the morning on a Friday, trying to feel good and pep him up for the weekend. No, I don't think so.
But here's the thing. Let me defend Pat Narawe, Scott. He has called in the past saying, in fact, that is his cousin. So it's not like this is the first we've heard from him. I don't know what to believe, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I didn't have that tidbit. I must have missed that. But, you know, my cousin's Alec Baldwin, and he called me last night after he shot that guy out there.
Oh, goodness.
Too soon.
Yeah.
I mean, Way too soon.
He killed someone, and the other one's in critical condition.
Way too soon.
I think that will always be too soon.
Yeah, that's not... wasn't great.
That wasn't a very good call. The fraud part of the call, good. The Alec Baldwin...
Do we establish whether or not it's his first cousin, or is this like a second, third cousin situation?
I think he said it's a cousin removed. I don't think it can't be. It can't be like they're fathers or brothers. I think he said second or third cousin.
Yeah, because my immediate cousins I'm close with.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
You said would you do this with your cousin? My first cousins, of course.
But cousin it's a loose term. You know what I mean? Like, how distant is the cousin?
I mean, Lonnie says that he's your cousin. Lonnie's not your cousin.
No, Lonnie's my nephew. I'm Uncle Rick. He's my nephew.
Well, he thinks he's my cousin. He's not my cousin.
Yeah, I think we all realize that, yeah.
But is this the same kind of thing where he's just, that's my cousin? But I will say this to defend him. Why would you go with Chris Taylor? Like, why months ago would you plant the seed that Chris Taylor is your cousin? You might go with, like, Clayton Kershaw is my cousin. Ooh, they acquired... A man with different eye colors, Max Scherzer, he's my cousin.
Trey Turner's my cousin.
Right.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger's my cousin.
Yeah, like you might go bigger and better. So to grow Chris Taylor is the reason I have pause, and I'm thinking maybe that is his cousin.
Or maybe he's like that diabolical where he's like, if I say one of these big names, they won't believe me, but if I go, you know, tier below.
That's right. Second-tier guy, part-time player. Good player, but part-time player, maybe they'll buy into it.
I think I believe him.
So you went from you believe him, you're questioning why I would question him, to I don't believe him, and now you believe him.
Well, you put the seed of doubt in my mind, because even if it was my second cousin, and I know, like, we've actually had like interactions before, and I had his number, I would at least text him. That's a humongous night. I mean, that's an elimination game in the NLCS. Like, hey, you know, great game, whatever.
Doesn't get bigger
than that. No expectations to get a text back, but at least...
You send the text?
You got to send the text.
I don't know what to believe. I'll believe, just because I believe in man, I believe in the goodness of people, that in fact is his cousin. But who really knows?
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
The Giants just, they keep doing stuff that, even though they're bad and we know they're bad, you shake your head at. I mean, Joe Judge with some comments yesterday, the fish stinks from the head down. I guess falling on the sword, taking full responsibility. Let me read you some of the quotes. I'm the head coach, he says. It's my responsibility, point blank. Every player on this field, every position group, the execution, it all comes down to me. The fish stinks from the head down. I've been taught that by great guys I've worked for and played for. There's no excuses. Like it or don't like it, from Joe Judge.
I actually like it. I don't know why he chose now to say it. I mean, he didn't say it right either. It doesn't stink from the head down. It rots from the head down. I mean, he's trying to take accountability. And when you coach the way he coaches and you ask your players to play a certain way and you talk about discipline and all these other things, I mean, the first one that should be taking the accountability when things don't go well is the head coach. And let's be honest. I mean, he's not on sound footing right now with job security. He's not.
Not at all. It feels like it's hemorrhaging right now. And I find that tough to believe, because there was very little that could happen this year that I thought that his job would really be in jeopardy. But I feel that now. This thing could go wildly off the rails.
It feels like it's headed in that direction, yeah.
I mean, it sure does.
What's amazing, though, too, is how quickly this thing has turned. Can you go from in most years, 6-10 is disappointing, but because your division is so bad and you had a chance to win your division still, it didn't seem as bad. And I think people like what Joe Judge was doing. You know, they like the idea of having this, you know, disciplinarian that was going to hold guys accountable and everything else. To the point where, I mean, going through the draft, Gettleman starts trading back and everything else, and we're all saying to ourselves, because you hate Dave Gettleman, if Gettleman gets fired, it feels like, you know, the Giants are now transitioning more to, you know, this is Joe Judge's team. I mean, that's changed in a hurry.
Quickly. I mean, think about that. Last year, season 6-10, which is not a great year, but with the talent or lack thereof that they had and the injuries that they had and the division that they're in, all of a sudden they wound up 6-10 and Joe Judge was like the conquering hero, right? Everyone loved him. And the thought was, if it goes sideways this year, Gettleman gone, and then all the control and all the power goes to Joe Judge. Do you think anybody feels like that now? We're 6 games in. They're 1-5. You think anybody has the mindset that, you know what, if they go 3-14, Gettleman's gone, but Joe Judge runs the whole ship? No way. Not anymore.
Well, no, because if they end up going 3-14, a lot of it would have to be because the team quit on the coach.
But they've already quit on the coach. What I saw last week, they quit on the coach.
I don't think we know that yet, just with the injuries and everything else, which I told you, you know, yesterday or the day before was worst case scenario for you, is that, you know, you try to eliminate all these different excuses you could use. I mean, especially about Daniel Jones. That's why you went out and got Kenny Golladay and you did the things that you did, because you wanted to know for certain whether or not he was your guy. But now with the injuries, I mean, you're decimated. Decimated. But I don't disagree with you. The fact that he came out after that Rams game and said, you know, I challenged the guys at halftime to go out and fight, which would lead you to believe that he saw some quit in the first half. And then for the Rams to come out the way they did in that first possession.
Bludgeon you. But if you're seeing quit, you're seeing quit in week 6? I mean, you were 1-4. I think the season's over. I think most Giants fans think the season's already over. But, I mean, to quit in week 6? This is an 18-week season. 17 games. And you've already mailed it in? How bad can it get then?
Do you know how important this game against Carolina is? For what you're talking about?
I do, because then you go on the road Monday night at Kansas City the week after.
Yeah, this could be, I mean, this is the turning point game. If they win, especially with all these injuries, they rally, whoever they rally around, if it's the head coach, whatever it is, the message, they rally around each other, whatever it ends up being, they show some leadership inside that locker room, and they come out with a huge performance, defense plays really well, because the offense is going to be limited with all the injuries, and they win. That could get them back headed in the right direction. But if they lose,
off the tracks.
Yeah, then it gets ugly.
Well, how does it get better? If you lose this game to Carolina, right? Because when you looked at the schedule when the season started, the winnable games were Denver, at Washington,
Atlanta,
Carolina, the Raiders. Those were the winnable games. They don't win any of the winnable games. Not one of them have they won. Look at Denver. Denver's not very good. You were non-competitive against them. Look at Washington. They're horrible. You couldn't beat them. You fell apart in that game. I mean, Atlanta? Atlanta's lousy. You couldn't beat them at home with a lead in the fourth quarter. So I don't know why anyone would think that they would show up and win this game, but you're right. If they go out there and get hammered in this game, then what?
Well, then what? Then it goes real bad real fast. Because now, I mean, you start mentioning the schedule. I mean, you're not beating Kansas City. You're not beating Tampa.
Nope. Are you beating the Raiders?
Well, I don't know. That would be, again, one of those games, because I don't necessarily know how much I trust the Raiders either. But that's again, one of those games, like the game on Sunday, that you go into feeling like they may, you know, people may think they're better than us, but we still feel like we have a chance. Like, that's the worst thing. Like, you go into some games, like the Rams game, right? No one expected them to beat the Rams. It didn't look like they expected to beat the Rams. But at least as an athlete, like mentally, you can justify, okay, this is just a better team than us. But when you go
lay down,
I'm not even saying lay down, but I'm just saying, like, for the psyche of a team, because that's really where we're at with this team, whether or not they're going to continue to compete or they just lay down is what's going on between their ears right now. Like, how much do they want to fight for each other? How much do they want to fight for this head coach?
Doesn't look like a lot.
But it's games like Sunday's game, in a game where you feel like you have the ability to win. And if they lose, that's like, I mean, that could send this thing into complete tailspin.
But I guess my question for you is, how can a Giants fan call us and say, you know what, I believe they answer the bell on Sunday. I believe they come out there and they come out swinging and they have pride and play well, and win or lose, they're right there every step of the way. Like, how could I possibly take the tack that that's what they're going to do for me and for us and for the Giants fan?
Well, at the moment, I don't think you can. At the moment, you can't, because you haven't seen it. Like, early on, they fought and they had chances to win games. I mean, you mentioned the Washington game. Like, there are games that they should have won, and we'd be having a whole different conversation right now, but they didn't. Bad teams find ways to lose games, and they did. And now when they go up against a team like the Rams that clearly is a better team, and they're dealing with injuries and everything else, they got their doors blown off.
Blown off.
And they look like there was some quit.
The worst part of all of it is, and it makes me sick to say it, and I bet you there's a lot of Giants fans that hear this, and they're like, you know what, he's not wrong. I don't even care anymore. Like Sunday, 1 o'clock, Giants come out, take the field. That to me is like one of the highlights of my week, with the excitement and the thought that they're going to play a good game. Listen, if they lose, I'll be a little bit frustrated, but I don't even care that much anymore. Like, well, even if they win this game, where's this going? Where's this heading to now for me?
Yeah, but see, I don't agree with how you look at it. I mean, that's not the mindset to have at the moment. Like,
that's how I feel.
No, you got to go game to game. You got to go week to week. You can't. I mean, you can't start looking at the big picture. Like, where is this? I mean, where's this win leading to?
You say, but what am I getting excited for? Like, really? Like, what's the end game for me? I can't just go.
Why are you
week
so focused on the end game, though? Stop focusing on the end game. There's
I can't
no one
do
in
the
locker room focusing on the end game.
I can't do it. I can't just look at this one specific week. Like I have to look big picture. How am I going to get excited about anything Giants related right now? And do I even want them to win? If you tell me that if he gets to 6 wins, that there's a good chance that he stays, I don't know anymore that he's a good coach. I have no idea. So I have friends that are fanatical, love the Giants, and they want the Giants to lose these games.
Well, what you said is the worst thing for any owner of any team, is that when all of a sudden the fan base starts to get apathetic, that they just don't care. And then the apathy turns to, I mean, I want to see my team lose.
You've been there.
What's the benefit?
It's terrible.
But I think the reality of the situation is, and why I get aggravated by you saying, like, what's the end game? Because, yeah, I mean, your team hasn't won much. So I'd like to see you enjoy the wins if you can get them, because they're few and far between when you look at what this team has been over the last 5 years. So I get what you're saying, because I've been there. I've been in that same spot where I'm you know, long-term, what the benefit is for us to lose these games. But the biggest thing for you now is figuring out what you have at coach and what you have at quarterback. That's the goal right now.
I guess.
Good or bad.
It's hard to see the forest through the trees right now. It really is, the way this team is playing. So if the draft were to happen tomorrow, here's how the first round would look. You ready for this? Your
yeah,
Jets
ready.
Would have 2 picks in the top 10. The Jets would go 6 and 10, because the 10 would be the Seahawks pick, because the Russell Wilson injury is really beneficial for you. Lions 1. Oh, God, the Dolphins. The Eagles would have the second pick at the moment.
The Eagles have 3 first-round picks.
I know they do. The Eagles will have the Dolphins pick in that Jalen Waddle trade, which right now, because you thought the Dolphins would be pretty good, right now is the second overall pick. The third pick would go to the Jaguars. How about that? Jacksonville is 3. The fourth pick goes to the Texans. The fifth to the Giants. New England 7. Philly then 8, their own, and 9, the Colts, because of the Carson Wentz trade.
Is that the first 2 Philly picks, 8 and what you just said?
No, they'd be 2, 8,
yes,
and 9 right now.
Yeah.
And then the Giants at the moment would go 5 and 16. The 16 would be the Bears.
That's the other team that will be interesting to see what happens. I know it was reported earlier that Deshaun Watson didn't want to go to Philly. But when you start talking about the amount of
draft
of
capital.
High-end, well, not, I mean, it's not just picks, man. That's high-end picks that Philly
3
has.
3 in the top 9? Nobody thought Miami was going to be this bad. Miami is on the point of completely butchering all the picks, all the commodities that they had here.
Yeah, but see, that's another situation. I mean, where you have Chris Greer and Brian Flores that are football guys trying to make football decisions that had a lot of questions about drafting Tua, and they were overruled by the owner. The GM and the coach, for a lot of these teams that have this kind of dysfunction, end up paying the price for owners that want to make decisions and never be blamed for them.
Yep, that's right. If that's true, if they wanted Herbert and they were forced into taking Tua and that's going to cost them their jobs, that really stinks.
They were talking about it yesterday. Mike Florio was talking about it yesterday. And now he wants Deshaun Watson. And if you're, I mean, listen, with the way their season's unfolding right now, I mean, you mentioned all the goodwill that those two built up. Owner says go get Deshaun Watson. He's one of the best, you know, once he gets through whatever's going to happen with the situation and he gets suspended and everything else. I mean, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, absolutely. Top five quarterback in the game. He's great.
So that's going to, I mean, of course, that's going to help save your job. He comes in, starts winning games.
Well, you got to do something at this point if you're Miami, because they are a dumpster
fire. And
they're
riddled with injury, dealing with a bunch of injuries, too.
They lost to Jacksonville.
No, I know, and they're all banged up.
Yeah, they're a mess. They have no run again. They're just a dysfunctional organization. Joe in Staten Island. Good morning, Joe. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Big fan of the show. I listen every morning.
Thanks.
So, given the fact that Vegas has taken a beating the last 2 weeks in spreads, do you think that these double-digit and, you know, three-score spreads are warranted, or do you think they're just trying to get their money back this week with the Bucks, the Rams, and yeah, that's it.
I think they're warranted. They don't give you numbers to you know, play games. They give you the numbers to try and get even money on both sides. The thought, I mean, what number could you get with Texas, with Houston, that you would say, yeah, you know what, I like Houston in this game? Yeah, it has to be a tremendous number. Cardinals are blowing everybody out of the water.
Yeah, but I get what he's saying, though, is that it's enticing on both sides because it is a lot of points. Isn't that the goal, too, to get even money on both sides?
That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to get even money on both sides. But
so I think, I mean, we all think that Atlanta's, we all think that Arizona's going to blow them out. But with that number,
it's a big number.
Would Arizona take their foot off the gas a little bit?
You know what? Look what Houston's done. They got destroyed by Buffalo. They lost by like 40 points. They got hammered last week by Indianapolis. I think they lost by 4 touchdowns. Arizona at the moment looks like they're the best team in the league. So
no, I know. But there's something to be said, too, about just, you know, looking forward to the fact that you got Thursday night football coming up, too. You got a big game on Thursday night coming up. You get up big early, take your foot off the gas a little bit.
What do we have next week? Next week, it's Cardinals-Packers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a game, huh?
That's a game.
That really is. That's a beautiful game. Where's that game? Arizona? You look it up, and I'll let you know that
I think it's in Arizona. Because Green Bay's at home this weekend. I'll tell
it's
you right
in
now.
Arizona. We have confirmation. Double confirmation. Rick says Arizona. RJ, who we don't always trust, but we believe in this situation, also says Arizona. SNY and 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY, the TV home of the Jets, for Jets postgame live with Bart Scott, Steve Gelbs, Willie Colon, Lejay Duzable, and Jeannie Coakley. Following Sunday's game against the Patriots, catch the Jets quote of the game, then tune into our show starting at 5 o'clock on Monday for your chance to win 2 tickets to an upcoming Jets game, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets postgame live only on SNY. Get your New York sports here. So why don't we get to this? Some calls for the Giants and the Jets. Now, RJ just said something to me about the Jets, which it's hard to argue. They need to show something on Sunday. I'm not saying they have to win the game, but you can't go out there 5 yards in the first quarter, 4 interceptions from the quarterback, lose the game 28-3, and you can't have that happen again, Rick.
No, of course not. You're coming off a bye, and as bad as it looked in the first meeting, it looked like there needs to be some growth, especially from the quarterback. Because he looked lost against the Patriots the first time.
Lost.
Which most rookie quarterbacks do, but that was
special.
That was special bad.
So just, again, show me something. Again, it's kind of nice to not have to win the game, but you have to give the fans something this week
if you're the Jets.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.